that.
Recording.
Okay, we're starting a new shiur now. It's going to be our next shiur about the topic of Hanukkah. Yes.
Is there
going to
be a Hasidic
shiur
tonight?
I could do it, but would you put up signs and
Put the signs? Honestly,
I think everybody's leaving probably 11:30, 10:30. We're going to be around 10:30. Probably people will be gone.
You can
do it
now, huh?
Yeah, but I don't have my shame of Shmuel with me. Well, I'm going to say something. The Chassidus, okay. We'll say the Chassidus before we do some more Hanukkah. I saw a vort in this Chassidus Sefer called Ma'av Shemesh. The Ma'av Shemesh is, I recommend it. It's a very good Chassidus Sefer. He was pretty early. He's a pretty early, and I don't exactly know, but he's from maybe the student of a student of the Maggid. He's maybe the fourth generation after the Baal Shem Tov. He's pretty early. Early 1800s, mid 1800s. So he has a vort on the Pasha, very interesting vort at one time. But it's a classical Hasidic vort. I think it's very contemporary for us. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonov. So he sends, so the word lefanav is an extra word. We say lefanav, of course, if he sends malachim, they're lefanav, they're ahead of him. He sent them. So why does the Torah say the word lefanav? That's what his kasha is. And then he has another kasha. Another kasha is that when Yaakov meets Esav, he tells Esav, "Isi panecha kros panei Elohim." When I see you, it's like I see an angel. So Rashi says, why does Yaakov mention an angel? Because the night before he had that big fight with the angel of Esav. Had a tremendous struggle with Yaakov, and Yaakov defeated the angel. So he mentions it to Esav, like in this passing, the way I saw him, you look to me like seeing an angel. And he sees angels, so Esav should be afraid of him, Rashi says. You know, this deal with a man who speaks to and sees angels, so just don't go ahead and just kill such a person, it's not so simple. So he wanted to scare him. That's what Rashi says. So the Ma'av Shemesh asked a question. That means Esav apparently wasn't used to seeing angels. So he meets a person who is. So he understood that you could see angels because he knows that his father Yitzchak saw angels, his grandfather Abraham. He himself never saw an angel because he is. But his brother, seeing angels, can believe him, and so he'll have a little more respect for him. That's what Rashi says. He won't be so quick on the jaw to kill him. But I don't know, so the Ma'av Shemesh asked the question, didn't Yaakov, the Rashi says at the beginning, Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav Eleisav, Rashi says Malachim Mamish. The Malachim he met, he met angels. Those angels that he met, he sent it to Esav. So Esav saw all these Malachim who came. So what's he telling Esav? I saw a Malach. You didn't see a Malach. He just sent him a bunch of Malachim. Esav saw all these old Malachim. That's his second kasha. So he says like this. He has now a third question. But the third question is really part of the answer. Who are these angels? Who are these angels that he met on the road? And who were these angels? What kind of angels were they? I mean, you and I don't know, because for you and me, an angel is an angel is an angel, because we don't know. But, you know, people, as I saw people, what kind of people? What are their names? Where they come from? So the same thing is this with angels. Not all angels, every angel is unique, just like every person is unique. So which angels were these? What angels? Where did they come from? Why did they come? Who are they? Why did he send them to Esau? So he said like this. He said, these angels which Jacob met on the road, he says, whenever a person does a good deed, or if he's a Jew, does a mitzvah, learns Torah, he creates an angel. Gemara says, maybe the Mishnah, take it up to us. Osa mitzvah achas kanalo prakzid echad. Osa avera achas kanalo kategor echad. It's a Mishnah, I think, in Pirkei Avos. If you do a mitzvah, produce an angel. A real angel. He is your product. You have produced him. And he is a guardian angel. It's ki malachav yitzav alach lishmocha b'chol juachecha. Which angels has God sent to protect the Jew? The angels he created through his mitzvahs. Like doing a mitzvah creates a malach. Those are the malachim, which are his guardian angels. They are his shmirah. So Yaakov is coming back from Laban, and in Laban had 22 very difficult years and 14 years in Shem Ve'Eva. He's coming back even a bigger tzaddik than when he left. That's what they say. He was even a bigger tzaddik. So after all of that, he produced an enormous amount of angels. These are the angels that he meets on the road. These are the angels that Yaakov Avinu created. And they're coming with him to protect him. The Shemocha Chod Yochecha. Yeah.
The mitzvah of Kavod HaVayim, which is described that Yaakov was punished for the 22 years staying by Laban, applies only to men or applies both to men and women?
Men and women.
So
they can marry. Even after she's married, as long as no one's born, she can do it. So now, these are the angels he created. So now, that's why he's sending them to Esav. Because they're his shmira, they're his guardian gods. The same question is, how can a Russia like Esav see angels? He's too low. He can't see Yaakov, a big tzaddik. He can see angels. How does Esav come to see Malachim? So that's where Yishtach Yaakov Malachim Lefanov means Lefanov. He took the angel and he made the angel Lefanov. He sent him in front of him. Means he had the angel take on a human form. He had the angel go down from. I go down from what his. And Yaakov saw them, they were Malach Elohim. He saw the spiritual angels. He had a spiritual vision. When they send them to Esav, they're mislabish in a guf. They take on a human form. And they go in as a human form. So Esav, when he met them, he didn't see angels, he saw people. Yaakov Avinu had done this. He took those angels and he made them into people.
Materialized.
Right. They took on a little bush. So that's when Yaakov tells Esav, I saw an angel last night. He's like seeing the angel I saw last night. But Esav was very impressed because he never saw real angels. He saw angels who appeared like people. Bad. Esav could also see. But Yaakov even saw them in an angelic form. So that explains the word Lefanov, and but how Yaakov sent them, and who these angels were. That's the draw from the Ma'or B'Shemesh.
Just one question.
Yeah.
Is a man able to send angels, I mean, to give orders to angels?
Yeah, sure. He's the boss. He's Yaakov. He's the angel's boss.
Because angels are accepting commands only from Akash Baruch.
These angels are here.
Another sheep.
These are the angels that Yaakov created, and these are the angels of his own shmir. These are his angels. So what if I want to take this Ma'or B'Shemesh and make it a little bit more contemporary for us to understand what he's saying. What he's saying is like this: whenever we do a good deed, a mitzvah, or we learn Torah, we create an angel, we create some spiritual energy. This spiritual energy is something which we can then use for Shmira. This spiritual energy is a protection, since we know that a person learns Torah, so it protects him. I spoke about it one day here, how the halacha exempts Tamid Chachamim from paying taxes. Everybody has to pay for the police, but Talmud Chacham does not have to pay for the police, because his Torah protects the city. And we know that the information, the Jewish people exist all these centuries, is because of the Talmud Torah, which Jews have done, and the mitzvahs Jews do. So it's all malachim, it's all spiritual power. That, see, you know, you wonder sometimes, how come is it that, let's say, Israel has this incredible staying ability? It can stand against incredible amount of people and countries arrayed against it, and huge empires in the last 50-100 years have all fallen apart, whether it was the German Empire or the Soviet Union, or even the English Empire. These countries, when they were at their height, they were incredibly more powerful than Israel is today. And they didn't have such enemies like Israel, sworn to destroy them, but they all fell apart. What gives the Jews the spiritual, the energy? The answer is not physical. Anybody who says that is even less than an idiot. He's a raving maniac. Because it's impossible that Jews, a few million Jews, should have a physical power against billions of people. The whole United Nations lowered flags for Arafat's death. It's an unseen, mysterious power of Malachim. There are Malachim protecting the Jews. Ki Malachim Yitzav Alach Hashmar B'chol Drochecha. The spiritual power. Now, so then someone comes along and says, the anti-Zionists say, what spiritual power? Prime Minister Sharon doesn't keep Shabbos.
Does he put tefillin, please?
Doesn't put on tefillin. So why should there be any spiritual power for the Israelis or American Jews? 90% don't keep Shabbos. So where's the spiritual energy? The answer is, we're using a very big bank account, our generation. We have
accumulating
3,500 years of extraordinary levels of Torah and mitzvahs, which actually by now billions of Jews over the thousands of years have accumulated and put in the bank for their offspring. So we're just living off the interest of a big bank account. That's a big fortune. There's a huge amount of malachim, trillions and trillions and trillions of malachim who are here to protect us. So therefore, we're living off that spiritual energy of all the previous, that says, V'glal avos toshia banim. Everything you see today is nothing to do with us. We don't have the merit. We're a very, very low generation. It's all the previous generation. The Quran calls it either bris avos or zachus avos, but that's where it comes from. Yes?
We can't neglect the other half of the mission that says for every error we do, it also creates malachim.
Malachim.
Yeah. So it's not only that we get the benefit.
Yeah, it's not that that's a blank check.
Do you think that throughout all the generations, throughout the past thousands of years, we've had so many more zechuyot than it's book that we do?
Yeah, there's been so many, yeah. It's been overwhelmingly, over all the generations, it's been tremendously tilted on the side of Torah and mitzvahs, way more than the Avera.
The past 1500 years, you think so?
Sure, no doubt about it. Until the Jews were emancipated from, until about 200 years ago, Chil Shabbos was unheard of. Every Jew kept Shabbos. Rapes, things like that were unheard of. Violent crimes were unheard of. There was never nothing like that. So the level of, and the Torah was very high. So the level for thousands of years was very, very high in everyday Jewish life. That created a huge fortune of spiritual energy, which is in the bank. And we're living off either the interest of that or the principal, but it's an amazing thing. That's why a few million people can go to the Holy Land, which is the Holy Land for two big religions, Muslims, 1 billion plus, Christians, 2 billion plus, and we go and take the Holy Land from them. And we didn't even have to fire a shot, they gave it to us. So all of this is beyond human comprehension. It's because we're living off the malachim of all the previous generations. So basically, when you do Torah mitzvahs, you create this koach ruchani of malachim, which then is l'shmocha. It creates a shmira. Now, but it's not enough for the Jew to do Torah and mitzvahs, and he produces this incredible spiritual fortune, and then he lives off of it. He's a rich man. The Jewish people are rich. They have so many malachim, so many mitzvahs, so much Torah which has been accumulated from Avraham or Kedoshim. So we live off of it. We have the land of Israel. We live good lives. I was looking at the paper yesterday, and I saw it was an incredible, it was a full page ad already advertising for Passover vacations. So this was a religious play ad. I couldn't believe it. Fountain Blue, Eden Rock, PGA Country Club, the fanciest hotels in America.
For Pesach.
Wow. Not one hotel. 12 hotels, each one fancier than the other. Where did Jews come to all of this? So we're living off a spiritual fortune, so we get Olam Hazeh also a little bit. But it's not right that the Jews should produce all of this spiritual blessing and then use it for themselves. Have to share it with the rest of the world. And not just plain people, even the worst people. Everybody has to get a share of this. So we have to send a malach, we have to send malachim to Esav. Esav is the biggest antithesis, enemy of Yaakov. But even Esav has to get malachim. He has to get a share. He has to be given the chance to come back and also achieve the purpose of his human existence and as a child of Avraham and Yitzchak. So therefore, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav, achiv. Yaakov sends the malach to Esav. His brother should also have malachim. Except that it has to be these malachim that go to Esav and not have to be sent in a disguise. They can't go to Esav in their pure form. That the non-Jew doesn't understand. He doesn't understand when you just tell him, I don't know, some Rav Torah about Havlokas Ner Chanukah. He doesn't, it's beyond him. You can't just tell him that. You have to tell it to him in a way, just mulubash, in a way that it's clothed in such a way that he can understand it. It should be a message for him. A message for him. So that's why the angels come to Esav in a lavush, some kind of a disguise. But it's inside that message is spirituality. So now, we Jews, whether we're living in Israel, which is a country among many countries, whether you're living in America and you're a citizen of another country, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so let this also be a Thanksgiving drasha. So we're in America, so we thank God that this country has been so good to us compared to any others, and probably maybe the best in Jewish history. Maybe. So we have to. We can't just be here and just take for ourselves. But we have so much malachim, so we take for ourselves. You know, go to the Fountain Blue for Pesach. Not good enough. Have to share it with Esav. We have to share it with our brother, Esav Achiv. He's a Gentile, a non-Jew. We have to share the blessings with them. Has to, maybe it's Malubash. You can't go and teach them the laws of Hanukkah. It's not for them. But you have to give it a levush. You have to give it a certain clothing that has the inner spiritual core. You have to deliver the message. That's what our responsibility is. We're here. We thank God for the blessings here. Israel also. Israel has to become a light to the nations. Has to teach the nations. The nations want to learn from Israel. You see that they want to learn. You see how much they're focusing on what it is Israel says. They want to learn. They have to teach them the right message. So when Israelis come around the world, it's not right that Israelis are, let's say, drug business. It's not right. That's not the message. We have to bring the message. Israelis go around the world to help sick people in hospitals, or Israelis invent machines to help the blind, or other things. Bring a message that the world will understand is a spiritual message for goodness. Right? You put it into the right container, the right package, but it has to be a spiritual message. That's what the Shemesh, not Shemesh, the Ma'or Shemesh is saying in his Shtikl Chassidish Torah about the angels with Yaakov sent to Esav. Adkan. This is my vote for Chassidus for the parsha and for Thanksgiving. We listed that way on the internet.